Ownership is all about building on your own success with your own self-discovery. Your life is your business. Take ownership of it. Together, let's unlock the next level of your life. Ownership is here to help lead you without all the noise and distractions. There are hot topics and lessons in life to keep you entertained, gain value, and even some enlightenment all along the way. Ownership is brought to you by Allison Andrews Cantor, a certified coach and business leader with over 20 years of experience under her belt. A battle-born and proven successful entrepreneur, she's on a mission to help individuals take back ownership of their personal life. So are you ready? Let's go. Here she is, your host, Allison Andrews Cantor.
Oh my goodness. You guys, can you believe this? I cannot believe we are here right now. Did you know that starting now, we are wrapping up season one of the Ownership Podcast. Today, episode 22, we are on the downward wrap up of season one. I can't believe it. If you've been listening to us, we've been doing the initialism of each of the letters of what ownership stands for. We're doing a full circle moment. We kicked off launching the podcast with what ownership is, and we're ending it with this really cool interview series with a special guest with one letter, the initialism of ownership. And I have handpicked all these guests because I feel like they are the perfect person to just have a great conversation around each of the letters of ownership. And today is no exception. Episode 22, Reflection. We have one of my closest friends, someone I greatly, greatly respect. I learn from constantly, and not just learn about industry stuff from, but also mothering, being a good partner, a wife, a sister, because I never had them. And she's been where I've gotten to road test being a sister-in-law even, and got to rework that. Just amazing. But before I introduce her, of course, I'm going to circle back to, we couldn't be here if it wasn't for the one that has the most long title I've ever heard in my life at this point, all these episodes, 22 in. He is not only producer Jay, Mr. Jay Brown, my friend, my work husband. I mean, the list is just going on and on. It's obscene at this point, but producer Jay Brown, how are you feeling in studio?
I'm feeling good today. And you know what? The title is going to get even longer. I feel by the end of our complete first season, it's, you couldn't even put it on a placard. It's just going to be too darn long.
I think we're already there.
But I love it. But you know what? What I love is that we've had some really amazing guests. We are continuing to have more amazing guests as we wrap up season one. And what do we have on tap today? What letter are we covering today?
Today is one of my favorites, and it's not because of what you usually think it is when I say this, but we are at letter R of the ownership, the R of ownership, and it is reflection. And I love reflection because it's not just reflecting as a daily practice or reflecting on the life you've had, but also truthfully doing the hard work of reflection, which is thinking about the stuff that was kind of icky, sticky, not our favorite highlight reel of our life. Those are the true moments of reflection that sometimes need to be explored and sat with and journaled and thoughtfully, mindfully focused on. And today I brought someone who actually is an expert, okay, here, and is somebody who can speak to this with the credentials to back them. I have one of my best friends, somebody I told you I greatly respect, Jacqueline Early, and she's a licensed clinical social worker. She also is the owner of LaForge Counseling Center, which is incredible, guys, by the way, and just amazing work they're doing. And she's also the clinical director of the Reno Municipal Court Specialty Court Programs in Reno, Nevada. And let me tell you, you want to talk about like some gnarly, gnarly stuff. She has taken her social work license degree, years and years of training and workshops and conventions and working for LA County. I mean, she went to USC. I mean, this girl is a baller of her industry, okay? And the stuff that she's doing and bringing to Reno is just next level stuff. And the population, you want to talk about grit? This girl knows grit like the back of her hand. So without further ado, Jacqueline, how you doing this morning?
Doing well. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Like that, I'm like, dang.
You earned it, girl. I'm just spitting. I mean, honestly, I should have got your resume out because it's like 6 pages long of your clinical, just your clinical experience. And we're talking top level stuff here. We're talking director positions. We're not even her internship stuff, which is another like 7,500 pages. But no, I love that you're here because you have that expertise and you can actually talk to the real mental wellness and also physical attributes, trauma there are, and the power that reflection can have in our individual lives and even with your clients. And I'd like to hear your perspective of the R of ownership when it comes to reflection, not only in the industry you work in and your job and your role, but also your own experiences with it, if you would be so kind.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, gratitude, reflection, right? Reflection is setting aside time to sit in gratitude. And gratitude is the practice of quality, thinking through the quality of your life and thinking through the things that you have and you appreciate. And sometimes, like you mentioned, that also comes with thinking through the things that you've lost and remembering those things.
Oh my goodness. I'm sure you deal with that with your clients, right? Yeah. I mean, like right there, that's the heavy stuff, right? Like I love the daily practice of reflecting with gratitude. I think that is a huge deal and you should do it, especially with my kids. But, how about like with your clients or even with yourself? I mean, you've seen and heard some stuff that is heavy and that does not leave you. That doesn't leave your mind, doesn't leave your heart, doesn't leave your soul. How do you work through that when you're reflecting and maybe one of those things pops up that you're not even maybe prepared for? How about that type of reflection when you're just driving, having a normal day and all of a sudden this boop, here comes that memory and you're like, oh man, whoa.
Yeah. It's something that I had to really get through, honestly, as a young clinician, a young therapist, was leaving work at work, working with serious mental illness and working with a population that was very low functioning and, you know, very poor socioeconomic backgrounds, a lot of trauma, a lot of significant stuff. It was hard to not take that with you on your drive home. It was hard to compartmentalize that. And so one of the practices that I put into place through my clinical director kind of coaching me in the early stages of my career was to really get that out, to leave it at work as much as I humanly could, to finish my notes for the day and then put them away and then come back to my life.
How do you even do that transition though? Like you've told me, you know, candidly without names and, you know, violating laws or what have you, scenarios of things you've had to experience with populations. And that would like stick with me. Like what is the actual practice that you found for yourself? Because even if you're not in social work, even if you're not coaching, even if you're not a therapist, even if you're not doing that, there are experiences in all our lives that happen to us where we're like, I have to switch gears. Either I have to now be a parent. I need to now interact with my spouse. I need to go to work. I need to, whatever you need to do, you have to do that switch. And sometimes it's really hard to find the gear when it's stuck in something that is yucky.
So yeah, I mean, you have to slow down the moment. That has been, so for me, I'm, you know, caffeinated and go, working in crisis, working in the jail settings and the forensic settings that I did. For me, it was slowing down the moment and learning how to observe, describe, and participate with what was coming up for me. Because if I can't describe what's coming up for me, then I'm not going to be able to sit with it and observe it, right?
Ooh.
And then staying in a space of non-judgmentalness, right? So our self-criticisms, our criticisms of the world start coming up, right? So how do I be mindful? I slow down the moment. I observe what's coming up for me. I describe it to myself. I label it. And then I lean into it. And I'm like, wow, that thought is a thought. And wow, that emotion is an emotion. And that's a big emotion, right? And then how do I sit with that? And how do I not judge myself for having those thoughts and emotions? And reflecting back. So going back to the R of it, you know, we can use that skill. I use that skill to reflect back on my early career, on the past year and this transition of opening the counseling center and contracting with the courts. what is it that I'm observing? What is it that I'm, am I having the impact? Am I meeting my own goals, right? Reflecting back is, it's crucial. It's slowing down the moment enough to do it though, right? Because in the hustle and bustle and the day-to-day and back-to-back meetings, you know my schedule's nuts, you know, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you know, Monday through Friday, I am booked. And so it's difficult at times to slow down in that moment. And so one of the strategies that I have put into place through coaching was to schedule in that time. Schedule in time of reflection, schedule in slow time. The concept of slow mornings is something I've been practicing with my family. I have a young child. You know, we're up very early. We have quite the commute into town. Slow mornings are really important. And if I don't get up and do my exercises and do my gratitudes, I have a gratitude journal where I just practice thankfulness and acknowledge what in the day I want to be thankful for, whom I want to be thankful for, what I want to be thankful for. That slow morning allows me to reflect on everything I have in the moment.
Yeah.
But I think that when we talk about mindfulness, right, being present in the moment, the past makes us sad and the future makes us anxious. So being present in the moment is the best way to really navigate what's coming up for you, and that observe, describe, participate kind of model that I have.
I love that model. God, I love that. Just give the cliff notes again. Say it one more time so we all got it here. One more time.
Observe.
Yes.
Describe and participate.
Okay. And we can all be doing that in our own individual lives when we have maybe those moments of reflection where something comes up that we're maybe not enjoying, or maybe it's something we don't want to think about for that time and space. We can go right through that. That's incredible. What a great tool.
So I will be honest, that comes from DBT. It comes from dialectical behavioral therapy. It's the what skill. And the other component of that is the how skill. How I want to do that is non-judgmentally, one, mindfully, and effectively, right? And learning those skills. And it was interesting learning those skills as a clinician to then try to teach them to other people and my clients, and the work that I've been able to do with my clients. It's just so phenomenal. It's, you know, the concept of when we numb the bad, when we numb the negative, when we don't sit in that discomfort and reflect back on the hurt, we're also numbing the joy, and we're numbing the happiness, numbing the positive emotions, right?
And you have no growth. And so much goodness, we all know, comes from growth.
Yes, 100%. And then you stay stagnant and you stay stuck.
And then you feel even worse about yourself. Now we're downward spiral. Now we're just caught in this really ugly place that we can't get out of. We're stuck. And we're stuck in it.
Yep.
And it's not even the present. It's the past. So we can't get to the future. Yeah. Or the future. And we haven't even arrived there yet.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You know, I think about the work you do, and I think about, you know, what you just said there about how interesting it is to go kind of full circle from when you were learning this to now you're teaching it. And I think the best practice, and we've had a couple episodes where we talk about coaching, mentoring, novice to expert, acts of service. And you really get better at what you do, or even I think your own mental wellness, when you can do that full circle of going from learning a new skill, a new way to operate, a new mental model, to then applying it to yourself and then taking it out there and giving it, teaching it. I'm asking you, do you feel today, and this is the kind of oxymoron of what I'm getting at here, do you feel today you have more mental wellness and clarity and ability to separate and leave work where it is than you did when you first started? Even though now you have more intense, crazier case stories and clients and workload, do you actually feel, because you've done that cycle, that you can actually now apply those tools more effectively and they're now just part of you, not trying to like, what do I pull right now from? It's just part of now your operating mode.
It really is. It turns into your default mode, right? It becomes that habit. It becomes that when you engage in that reflection, you practice the gratitude, it becomes that habit of, this is just how I think now. This is how I operate and see the world now. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, being able to teach it to someone else, it's like, wow, I do have mastery over this. I do understand this on a deeper level. And you want to see that person be able to reach that level of intense mindfulness and meditation, right? It's not just my, it's a whole mindfulness practice, right? There's also physical component and a spiritual component, but just our thoughts and the way that our emotions rise and fall, it's riding away, right? And so it's been phenomenal. It's been great for me to be able to put really heavy cases, sad cases, I mean, just client cases, let alone my own personal life. And, you know, I've, you know, my father, my grandmother that I was a caretaker for most of my life, I've definitely been able to reflect on those things and sit back and appreciate everything that they brought to my life and that I brought to their lives, and really sit in that sadness and grieve, and then take that and look to the future and look at my child and be like, wow, I'm going to be able to bring those experiences and those, that knowledge and that just deep appreciation and gratefulness and thankfulness for the grace and the mercy and the experience of life. It's such a blessing, right?
Yeah.
But if we walk in going like, oh, life sucks, like, guess what? Your life's going to suck.
For sure.
Versus like, life is a blessing. This is amazing. Awesome.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think, like you said, reflection is one of those great tools that helps you kind of disrupt all the go, 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 and allow the space for the slow mornings to disrupt all of it so that you can have that moment to get back to the present and check in, it sounds like, with yourself and make sure you're not stuck in something in the past or too much in the future and get right back to where we need to be, which is today.
Well, and it makes you smarter, faster, stronger in the moment too, right?
That's true. It's like
you're able to access that and sit with it and be mindful in the moment. Moving forward, you're smarter, faster, stronger. Cool. Let's do that. Who doesn't want to be able to be smarter, faster, stronger?
No, Jacqueline, you did mention that the fact that you do slow mornings and stuff like that. For me, I'm not a morning person whatsoever. Allison can attest to that over when I'm setting up stuff and whatnot for doing the podcast. Now, for me, I journal, but I journal at night. So is there a time or day that you can actually tell somebody or it is good for someone to actually find a moment to reflect? Is it, you know, in the middle of the day when they have a free moment, like myself at night before I go to bed? You do it in the morning. So what is the best time to find your way to give an outlet for reflection?
I think that's totally it's person to person. You're not a morning person. I'm not a morning person necessarily, but my spouse is, man, he lives up to the last name 100%. He's like, early in the morning, we are going, I am happy, I am reflecting, right? I have had to intentionally practice that because I know that at the end of my day, if I try to sit and journal, I am knocked out within 3 minutes. I am just crashed wherever I'm at. And so I think it's different for everybody. I know that a lot of the law enforcement officers that I've worked with and had the privilege of working with in the various forensic jails that I worked in, they really enjoy their lunch breaks. They make the most out of their lunch breaks. They will either go and get in a physical exercise and just be very mindful of their bodies. Some of them use that time to actually engage in telehealth and therapy, which I love. That's something that I'm like, yes, that's a win for mental health right there. But I think it's unique to person to person, and you have to find what works for you and whatever is consistent, right? Success is just showing up sometimes. And sometimes that just scheduling that into your day, putting that 5-10 minutes in there, and it doesn't have to be this big ordeal, right? It can be just simply sitting in your car for an extra 2 or 3 minutes, not scrolling on your phone, just observing, describing, and participate what emotions are coming up for you and what thoughts you have, and just acknowledging them for what they are. Usually I do some deep breathing with it. You know, I know my practice, but it's different for everybody. You know, humming, scream therapy. There is something called scream therapy where people scream it out, and that can be incredibly cathartic and bring you to that present moment.
Yeah.
That's great. Kids, by the way, phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes, I think you'll agree with me though, when it comes to doing reflection, no matter what it is, and it is very personal, ultimately at the end of the day, you want to make sure you're able to do whatever it is you set yourself up to do. So you want to set yourself up for success. Because if you're not getting those small wins and that validation and getting something out of it, and you're failing because you're not a morning person and you're trying to challenge yourself to wake up at 6 a.m. to do something that already you're setting yourself up for failure. So with any of these things, when it comes to reflection, you want to do what fits your lifestyle and fits your needs, and also something that is absolutely attainable. You know, it's all about making sure you can do what you set your mind to do. And if you can't, you need to reorganize it and reprioritize it, because it does no help if you can't actually do it.
100%. I agree wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I mean, this has just been such a great conversation. I would love to talk about some of the stories you have. I mean, they're just wild. I mean, the one that sticks with me forever is the one client you did have that was schizophrenic, that literally their biomarkers, because you know, I love biohacking and I'm so interconnected on the mind and the body being so twined up. But literally she had someone on her client list that was schizophrenic, that one personality was not diabetic and the other actually was, and they could chart this with blood work. And that to me is so powerful. And I want you so badly to write a book and dig into that and do case study, because there's so many people out there in biohacking and the mind body connection that would love to have that empirical case study evidence. And I would love to see you do that. That is my wish. I just selfishly would love to read more about that and let other experts chime in on how powerful the mind is to the body, and especially manifesting even disease right there. Isn't that crazy? I still can't get over that's a thing.
It was fascinating and tragic to watch, honestly. And but you're right. The mind body connection is incredibly powerful.
Oh.
It's so incredibly powerful and it impacts us day to day. Love it.
No,
love
I can't it. Wait until you're some professor teaching people on one of the books you've written, and I'm just going to re-enroll with my kids and sit there and just sponging it all up, because I love learning from you. But oh my gosh, thank you so much, Jacqueline. Episode 22, Reflection. Oh my gosh, I appreciate you. For more to connect with Jacqueline, see more, follow us, make sure check out Instagram at take_ownership or at take-ownership.com. And until you hear from us in the next 2 weeks, what is something you can do to take ownership over your life?
If you liked today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and like. Don't forget to join our community by connecting with ownership at take-ownership.com. You can buy the book, become a show supporter, join our monthly Soul Boardroom, and engage in free strategy coaching sessions with Allison. You can find all of this and more at take-ownership.com.